Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. It is Tuesday, November 15th, 2022, and we are live on PGN Prophetic Grace Network. Today, we are discussing the Book of Revelation and the Earth Reaped Prophecy. So today we'll be in chapter 14 of the Book of Revelation. Are you curious about the resurrection? Are you curious about the Battle of Armageddon? These are topics that are discussed. These are realities in our future that are shared in the Book of Revelation. So this month, November of 22, we have analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist, happening live on PGN every Sunday at 12 p.m. Central Time and Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time. I'm excited to share with you the Earth Reaped Prophecy. In chapter 14 of the Book of Revelation, there are two prophecies, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, as well as the Earth Reaped Prophecy. I want to share with you foundational scriptures that give us insight into understanding what's revealed in this prophecy. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew three parables from Jesus that describe the events noted in the Earth Reaped Prophecy. At the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the marriage of the Lamb occurs. That's the first resurrection. That's God getting his forever family. And so what has the purpose of time been? You could think of time as existing, or you could think of reality as having three parts. Let me say it that way. There's eternity past. That's one part. And after eternity passed was the beginning. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the beginning is the beginning of time. And then in our future is the end of time. In other words, the end of the world. And so we'll hear today about what happens at the end of the world. We're going to a new earth. This present earth is coming to an end. And in Matthew, Jesus says that is the way it will be at the end of the world. So what are these three periods? Eternity past, the beginning of time. So the beginning all the way to the end of the world, and then there's eternity future. So what is eternity future? Eternity future is everything that happens beyond time. So at a certain point, the entire harvest will have come in. All of the Gentiles that will be saved, all of biological Israel, all of the Jews that will be saved, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will transition from mortality to immortality. And then there will be a thousand-year period known as the millennial reign, and described in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. At the end of the millennial reign, something very interesting happens. The final three enemies of God are destroyed. Who are they? Who are they? The devil is destroyed. He's thrown into the lake of fire. That's described in Revelation 20, verse 10. And then every person who's team devil, every person who took the mark of the beast, every person who is a bad fish, you could also think of a bad fish as a tare or a weed or a goat. All of those individuals who are enemies of God because they are under the inspiration, leadership, dominion of Satan, because they are not in right standing with God, because their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, unfortunately, those individuals are judged and destroyed. And then finally, death itself is destroyed. When the whole world is judged, we transition from this corruptible earth. All of creation moans due to the corruption that it is experiencing. Well, you say, I don't think that the earth is corrupted. Nature is beautiful. Nature is beautiful. But it is a creation, not the creator. We should not engage in nature worship. If nature was perfect, no tree would ever die. If nature was perfect, every stream would be free of any impurity. Clearly, nature is imperfect. And so in the same way that we will transition from a corruptible, imperfect body to an incorruptible, perfected, glorified body, this earth is going to transition to a new earth. And everything in it, we will have a new earth and a new heaven. That's announced and described in Revelation 22. So what about these three periods? Eternity past, the present, and eternity future. Once we transition to the new earth, we are beyond time. Imagine that, truth seeker. We exist in linear time. We think of our lives in terms of typically years, decades, maybe centuries. When we transition to the new earth, the world will have ended, this present world, and we go to beyond time. We go to beyond the end of what? The end of this age, the end of the world. So that's what we are talking about today, some of the key events leading up to that. So let's begin with talking about and hearing the parable of the fishing net on our way to listening to and examining verse by verse the earth reaped prophecy. At the end of the world, every creation that was human in origin will either live for the eternities of eternities, in eternity future, every human being will either live in eternal damnation in a physical location known as the lake of fire, or on the new earth, a physical location. So there's no option three. There are only two options. And so let's hear about that, because that's not my opinion or even my wish. You might say, if I was God, I would, and fill in the blank. But in fact, neither myself nor you nor any human is God. We are the creation. God is the creator. Now, what has he created? He has created the opportunity for each of us to either be a part of his forever family on the new earth after the end of the world, or the opportunity to live with Satan in the lake of fire after the end of the world in eternity future. Now, here's where Jesus reveals that. It's in three places in the book of Matthew. Let's hear the parable of the fishing net. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let's circle back. Jesus says here that that is the way it will be at the end of the world. Now, the end of the world doesn't happen in a singular moment. We're talking about a period of approximately 1,000 years. Let's get to that important detail. It says the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous. In the earth-reaped prophecy that we will hear and examine today, we will hear the report of how the angels separate the wicked from the righteous. Specifically, in the earth-reaped prophecy is the report of how the earth's crop, every person who is in Christ is harvested. In other words, every person in Christ, as described in Thessalonians chapter 4, transitions from mortality to immortality, puts on that perfected, glorified body. And it describes that in the earth-reaped prophecy. And here in Matthew, it says the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous. So there are two groups, the wicked and the righteous. Jesus described that to his disciples in the parable of the fishing net. So the angels separate the wicked from the righteous, and the wicked go into the fiery furnace. Now, this is important. When the angels come to do the harvest, they separate out those who are righteous, and we participate in the first resurrection. Those who are the bad fish, those who are thrown into the fiery furnace, and here in the parable of the fishing net, it says, the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When does that happen? When are the wicked thrown into the fiery furnace? So again, we tend to think of life in terms of the year or decades. The first resurrection happens. That's when the earth's crop, the good fish, are separated from the bad fish. Those bad fish experience death. They fall asleep, and they continue as disembodied spirits in Hades. When a person falls asleep, when a person dies, the Bible consistently, more than a dozen times, refers to that as falling asleep. Why? Because there's perfect continuity of life for every human being. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who are in Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present in Hades for those who are not in Christ. And so when the wicked fail to participate in the first resurrection, what happens? It says here they are thrown into the fiery furnace. But this happens about 1,000 years later. It's a little bit more than 1,000 years. We aren't given the exact date in Revelation chapter 20, but it's important to note this because when you're trying to understand, well, what's going to happen in our future? After the first resurrection, that's the marriage of the Lamb. There's the marriage supper. That's the battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ fights and wins that war waged in righteousness, as described in Revelation chapter 19. Then his government begins in Isaiah, in Isaiah, it says, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 9, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So his government begins upon his winning the Battle of Armageddon on this present earth. It continues for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan, who's been confined in the abyss, he's let loose for a short while. Then, after 1,000 years, then Satan is destroyed. Then he's thrown into the lake of fire. So let's hear that briefly. In verse 10 of Revelation 20, it says, "Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and false prophet were." Now, why were the beast and false prophet already there? Because they're thrown into the lake of fire at the Battle of Armageddon. But it's not until 1,000 years later that their leader, Satan, joins them. Now, why do we care about this? We care about this because when we go to the earth reaped prophecy, we need to understand these timelines. So what happens to everyone who followed the Antichrist, who followed the false prophet, who took the mark of the beast, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Every person who's a bad fish, we already heard in the parable that the bad fish, the bad ones are thrown away. And then we're told they're thrown, the angels throw the wicked into the fiery furnace in verse 50. When do they do that? They do that after the great white throne judgment. In verse 15 of chapter 20, it says, "And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire." So all the books are opened at the second resurrection. That happens at the great white throne judgment. Every person who's in Hades as a disembodied spirit, they have all experienced the first death. They never went to heaven because they're Team Satan, right? You only get to go to heaven if you're Team Jesus, if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So these people are resurrected. They participate in the great white throne judgment, and then they're thrown into the lake of fire. So what's the take-home point for us? The wicked are separated from the righteous. The final outcome, the final activity related to actions taken with respect to the wicked, it happens a little more than 1,000 years after the final activities related to the righteous. That's important to know. So it doesn't happen at the same time. There's a 1,000-year period where every person who's righteous is living on this present earth, but those who are Team Satan who have died, they're still in Hades. They haven't experienced the great white throne judgment yet. They haven't joined Satan in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever. Let's continue. I want to share two more parables, and then we're going to the earth reaped prophecy, because Jesus has communicated in three different ways the realities that are revealed in the earth reaped prophecy. Let's hear what Jesus says with respect to the parable of the wheat and the weeds. So in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43, it says, Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world." That's so key, friend. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. "Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin in all who do evil. Let's pause there. The kingdom of God, the government of Jesus Christ begins after he fights and wins the battle of Armageddon. It begins on this present earth, this corruptible and corrupted earth. So Jesus Christ, in his perfected, glorified body, returns as the Lion of Judah. We transition to our perfected, glorified bodies, but we're living on an imperfect earth. And so an important thing is for the Son of Man, it says here, the Son of Man will send his angels and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. So even after Jesus returns and establishes his government, we're not home free yet. There's a transition period called the millennial reign. Every person who causes sin and who does evil has to be removed. That includes Satan, because he's here for 1,000 years in the abyss and then released for a short time. And that includes all the people who are engaging in evil because they are under the inspiration and leadership of Satan. So they have to be removed as well. And that happens after they are judged at the great white throne judgment at the end of the first 1,000 years of Jesus's reign on this present earth. And it says, and the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sometimes people think, oh, when you go to hell, that's it, nothing happens. No, if there is weeping in hell, that means that people still have emotions. That means that the soul, the mind, will, and emotions are there. If there's gnashing of teeth in hell, in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever, that means there's some kind of body. You can't gnash your teeth if you don't have teeth to gnash. So let's get to the earth reaped prophecy. It is in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 20. It begins with its own abstract, a movie trailer in words, and then we have the full report. I want to start with the full report, verses 12 to 20. When you look at the book of Revelation and its statements of prophecy, and by my analysis, there are 12. This is the sixth statement of prophecy, the earth reaped prophecy. It follows the seven seals prophecy, which then is followed by the seven trumpets prophecy, then the 1,260 days prophecy, then the 666 Antichrist prophecy, then the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, and now the earth reaped prophecy. When you look at these statements of prophecy, they are documentaries, if you will, of realities that exist. So if we were to do a documentary of your life, let's say the last 20 years, we might create a 90-minute documentary. And necessarily, some of the events that are important and events that actually happened wouldn't be included due to constraints, right? The practical constraint of space and time. So in the same way, when we look at the book of Revelation, God is communicating. He's showing realities that exist and that are real, but that have happened across significant periods of time. For that reason, we have to carefully look at each statement of prophecy to make sure that we know where we are in time. So let's begin with the earth reaped prophecy. I'm going to the full report part. That's verses 12 to 20. There are five scenes that are shown. Let's begin with the very first verse. In the full report, it says, and this is John speaking, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution, patiently obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. So this is after the movie trailer. And so here we have an admonition. In these statements of prophecy, there are three things. predictions about the future, admonitions, which are warnings, instructions, and finally, consolations. Consolations are words provided for the purpose of providing hope in the face of distressing information. So here's an instruction. It's a warning, an admonition. We're told that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. Now let's continue. Verse 13, the second scene. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. End of scene. So this is a consolation. During the time of the Great Tribulation, it will be a period of crisis like we have never, ever experienced in this world, and which will never happen again on the present earth or the new earth to come. And so words of consolation are provided, saying, blessed are those who die in the Lord. And when you experience the first death, if you die in Christ, if you go to heaven, if you're not here on the earth at the time of the second coming, you're told you will rest from your hard work in heaven and your good deeds will follow you. They won't be for naught. So that's a word of consolation. Now let's continue to the third scene. Now here we're getting to the earth reaped part. So we received an instruction. We received some words of consolation, and now we have a prophecy. This is the part, verses 14 to 16, where it follows up with what Jesus explained in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. We were told the harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. And in the parable of the fishing net, we were told the angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous. So now we're about to hear some of the details of that, some about this harvest and how the righteous are harvested and how the wicked are harvested. What happens to them? So let's hear verses, we're continuing, we're looking at the entire prophecy, verses 14 to 16. It says, then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. Let's pause there. That truth seeker is the marriage of the Lamb. We say, research scientists, I don't see that. Here are the scriptures that help us to unlock this secret. The harvest refers to what happens at the end. What happens to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And what happens to those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life? So for every person who is a good fish, every person who is a part of the wheat, that person is harvested. That person participates in the marriage of the Lamb. That person is a good fish. That person is a sheep. That person is a part of the wheat. That person in this prophecy is a part of earth's crop. So at the time of the second coming, the angels will bring in the harvest of the righteous. Every person who's a part of the forever family of Jesus Christ, every person who will rule and reign with Jesus on this present earth and on the new earth to come is a part of this harvest, is a part of earth's crop. But there's more. What about those who are the bad fish on this earth at the time of the second coming? Now, this is where it gets a little bit complicated. Remember we talked about how there are really three periods. There's eternity past, there's the beginning of time, and then everything that's happening in between, which is now, and then the end of the world. There's that one period, and then there's eternity future. So we've just heard how the good fish are harvested, but how are the bad fish harvested? And where are the bad fish? So there are those who are Team Satan, those who do evil, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are goats, those who are part of the weeds or the tares, if you will. Some translations of the Bible describe the parable of the wheat and the weeds as the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, where are these people and how are they harvested? Some of them will be on the earth at the time of the second coming, bearing the mark of the beast and serving in the armies, with an S, of the 10-nation alliance under the leadership of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Battle of Armageddon will be fought in a physical location. It's not worldwide. The Battle of Armageddon is not fought in New York City. It's not fought in London. It's not fought in Mexico City. It's not fought in Switzerland. It's fought in Israel. And we know that because it's reported in the Bible in many locations. When this battle happens, there are those who are Team Satan who will be in the armies of the Antichrist. And so again, our overarching question, and I'm about to answer this question using scripture, is this. How are the bad fish harvested? In this prophecy, we'll hear that the bad fish are referred to as the grapes, the clusters of the grapes from the vines of the earth. So in the parable of the fishing net, they're the bad fish. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, they are the weeds and the tares. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, they are the goats. So there are those bad fish who are disembodied spirits in Hades, and there are those bad fish who will be on the earth at the time of the second coming. Now, ultimately, all of the bad fish are resurrected 1,000 years after Jesus returns, and they are resurrected for the purpose of their participation in the great white throne judgment. Now, this is important so that we don't get confused. So in this earth-reaped prophecy, a report of what happens to the bad fish who are on the earth at the time of the second coming is provided. However, the final report on what happens to the bad fish is not in the earth-reaped prophecy. It's in the dead judged prophecy in Revelation chapter 20. So their story is not over in this prophecy. In the parable of the fishing net, we're told that they're thrown into the fiery furnace. So that's taking us all the way to Revelation chapter 20. But now in Revelation 14, we get some interesting details. Hallelujah. We get some very interesting details. What happens to those people who have the mark of the beast, the millions of people who will be a part of the armies of the 10-nation alliance that come through? They come through the land that will have been dried up, the Euphrates River. They will go through that path thinking that they are about to take out Israel, that thinking that they're going to destroy Israel. In fact, they're going to their own destruction. In fact, they're going to the war to end all wars, the Battle of Armageddon. 100% of all of the individuals who are fighting in the armies of the Antichrist, under the leadership of the Antichrist, 100% of those individuals are going to die. That is the beginning of the harvest of the bad fish. They are going to experience what's called the great wine press. So in Revelation chapter 19, the Battle of Armageddon is described. And it ends with saying, and the rest were killed with the sword that issues from the mouth of him who was mounted on the horse, and all the birds fed ravenously and glutted themselves with their flesh. So at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, all of these troops that are in the armies, they experience death at the hands of Jesus Christ and the troops of heaven. That's described in Revelation chapter 19. Now, in this earth-reaped prophecy, we're about to hear in verses 17 to 19 how the bad fish are harvested, how they are reaped, what happens to them at the time of the second coming. We've already heard what happens to the good fish at the time of the second coming, but what happens to the bad fish who are on the earth at the time of the second coming? Now, again, the final actions related to the bad fish don't happen until end of the millennial reign when they are resurrected, their disembodied spirits and soul, they come to the great white throne judgment. They are resurrected for the purposes of being judged, but we know the outcome of that judgment. Every person who's a litigant at the great white throne judgment is found guilty, and they are thrown into the lake of fire. But before then, what happens? Let's hear it. Verses 17 to 19 in chapter 14, the earth-reaped prophecy says this: after that, another angel came. Now, it makes sense, right? We're told that the angels would do the work. And so another, it says in verse 17, after that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had power to destroy with fire, came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, "Swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. Let's pause there. Now, notice it says that the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. Right there, if you didn't know it already, right there you're alerted to the reality that, wait, this happens in a specific location. It doesn't say the cities or the world or the nations. It says the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. What city? A city in Israel. The city where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought and won by Jesus Christ and the troops of heaven. Let's hear that whole verse, verse 20. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. So what did you just hear? That's the last scene, verses 17 to 19. Tell us what happened to the bad fish. What happened to the clusters of the grapes from the vines of the earth? What happens to the tares? What happens to the goats? What happens to the weeds at the second coming of Jesus Christ? What happens is that they experience the great wine press. Now, this isn't all of the bad fish, right? There's some people who are Team Satan, who are in Hades right now as disembodied spirits. They don't experience this great wine press. They're not on the present earth. So, again, ultimately, what happens to the bad fish is that they're thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. But here in the Earth Reaped prophecy, the secrets about specifically what happens to the wicked and the righteous at the time of the second coming, all of the righteous and specifically the bad fish, the wicked, the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth who are there bearing the mark of the beast, attempting to destroy Israel. What happens to those bad fish? That secret is revealed here in the Earth Reaped prophecy, and you just heard it. So that Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 to 20. Now, we heard the full report. I want to go back and share with you two other things to help us understand this prophecy. First, let's hear the marriage supper prophecy in Revelation chapter 19. So we just heard that there will be 180 miles of blood. So the Earth Reaped prophecy says that for the bad fish, they will be destroyed. They're going to go through the great wine press. They're going to experience the first death, and the blood, there's so many of these bad fish that there's a stream of blood that's 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. So you might say, this sounds gruesome. It is, but note, God is a just God, and we are talking about the Battle of Armageddon, a war waged in righteousness. Now, you might say, how can you be sure this is what happens at the Battle of Armageddon? We can be sure because we have the language of the great wine press, of God's wrath, and that same language is noted in another description of this event, and that's in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper prophecy. Let's hear it now. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So Revelation 19, the marriage supper prophecy, it begins with verse number 6 and ends with verse 21. So why am I going to read from the marriage supper prophecy? I want it to be clear that the events described in verses 17 to 20, how do we unlock those secrets? That's a snapshot. That's a snapshot of what happens to the wicked at Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. But the Battle of Armageddon is described in great detail in the marriage supper prophecy, which includes verses 6 to 21. I want to share verses 11 to 21, reading from the New Living Translation. This is about the marriage supper. In verse 9, it says, "And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." So let's hear the whole prophecy. Beginning with verse 6 of chapter 19, it says, "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. So we hear the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's the marriage supper. You can't have a marriage supper until after you have had the marriage. So first there's the marriage, and then after the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection, there's the marriage supper. So let's hear about the marriage supper, continuing in verse 10. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. So this is right before the Battle of Armageddon. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. There it is, friend. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. So we're about to hear how the juice flows from the wine press. Continuing with verse 16, we're in the marriage supper prophecy. This helps us to understand the end of the earth reaped prophecy. We get just a snapshot in verses 17 to 20. The end of the earth reaped prophecy tells us what happens to those who are team Satan, those who have the mark of the beast, who are in the armies of the Antichrist, the 10-nation alliance, under the inspiration of Satan. What happens to those people who have the mark of the beast, the millions of people who will be there in Israel to take it out, believing that they're going to destroy Israel? What happens to them? A snapshot is given at the end of the earth reaped prophecy. We're told that they all die, and that there's 180 miles of blood. But let's hear in detail now in this marriage supper prophecy, how does it all happen? So continuing in verse 15, it says, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Let me pause there. Truth seeker, did you notice that it didn't say that the angel shouted to the saints? It didn't say that the angel shouted to the other angels or to the Sanhedrin. It didn't say that the angel shouted to the 144,000. It says that the angel shouted to the vultures. And the instruction is that the vultures are to come and gather for the great banquet. Now, I've heard over and over again. People say, oh, the wedding banquet, the wedding feast, the marriage supper, that's where we're all going to sit down with Jesus. We're going to eat ham and macaroni and cheese and chicken and steak, and it's going to be amazing. Well, I believe that anytime we're with Jesus, it is going to be amazing. But at the great banquet, we're not sitting in a dining hall having roast beef or steak or chicken with the Lord of Lords. We're not, friend. Don't be mad at me about that. I'm reading from the Bible, and I come to the Bible because my goal is to find out what is true, not to prove that what I already think is true, because what I already think might not be true. So when I open the Word of God, I'm doing it to find out what is true. And it says right here, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. And who was told to do that? The vultures. Now, when we hear the rest of the marriage supper prophecy, it'll make sense. Why are they told to gather together? Let me give us a heads up. It has to do with that 180 miles of blood noted in the earth reaped prophecy. When the bad fish, when the goats, when the tares, when the weeds are separated from the righteous. So the righteous have already been separated. We've transitioned to our incorruptible, perfected bodies. Now the battle of Armageddon will be fought. Now that the marriage of the Lamb has happened, the marriage supper is happening, what's going to happen to the bad fish, the wicked? Here's what's going to happen to them. 180 miles of blood will flow. We're told that. 180 miles of blood in the earth reaped prophecy, verses 17 to 20 of chapter 14. Now here we go to the marriage supper prophecy to get the details about the battle of Armageddon. So let's continue here. Verse 17 of chapter 20 says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Did you hear that, friend? Jesus is not inviting us to the wedding banquet because we don't eat human flesh, right? So we are not invited to dine at the wedding banquet. The vultures are invited to dine. Now, let's continue here. Verse 19 says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. This is the Battle of Armageddon. This is fought in Israel. This is fought in a specific city in Israel. And the earth reaped prophecy tells us that there will be 180 miles of blood flowing with those bad fish. But let's hear in the prophecy specifically about the Battle of Armageddon more of the details. So continuing in let's go back to verse 19. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. So we have the beast and the kings of the world and their armies. So that's the Antichrist, the kings of the world, and the armies of the 10-Nation Alliance, maybe the armies of the UN, every person under the leadership of the Antichrist. Those armies within us are gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. Who's that? Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. Here on this present earth, in a physical location, specifically a city in Israel. Then it says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue, both the beast and his false prophet, were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Let's pause there. So what happens? Antichrist and the false prophet are the first two of God's five enemies who are destroyed. So before we can go to the new earth, before the end of the world, all of God's enemies must be destroyed. And now we're getting someplace. The first two of his five enemies are destroyed. Now, why do I say it that way? I'm excited about the new earth. Why? On the new earth, there's no more mourning, no more grief, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. So the end of the world is a bad thing if you're going to the lake of fire, if you're going to eternal damnation after the end of the world. But if you're going to the new earth, it's exciting. You're going to eternity future where you'll rule and reign on a perfected earth. There's no corruption. There's no death. There's no sorrow. But before we get there, we have to get to the end of the world. We have to get to the end of everything evil and every enemy of God. And you're an enemy of God if you are evil, if you're doing evil. So who are the five enemies of God? And this is in the order of their destruction. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil's children, and finally death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26 says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. Who's he? Jesus Christ. Let's continue in this marriage supper prophecy. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, here's where it connects to the earth reaped prophecy clearly. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. So how did we get those 180 miles of blood? How did we get that 180 miles of blood at the time following the first resurrection? 180 miles of the blood of the bad fish, the tares, the weed. Why are they killed? And who kills them? Well, we hear right here in Revelation 19:21, God manifest in the flesh kills them. Why? The time of their judgment has come. Every person who is evil ultimately will be destroyed. Now, when they die, this is not the end of their story, right? The end of their story is participation in the great white throne judgment. That's described in Revelation chapter 20. So when they die, they're going to Hades as disembodied spirits. They're not going to their final place. Eternal damnation hasn't happened yet for them. So let's hear the end of this verse. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. So how does this relate to the earth-reaped prophecy? That 180 miles of blood at the end in Revelation chapter 14, verse 20, it's 180 miles of blood because there are dead bodies. Well, whose bodies are they? The bodies of those who are in the armies of the Antichrist, in the armies that are there to fight against Jesus Christ, who's riding on the white horse leading the troops of heaven. And there is a marriage supper, a wedding feast, if you will, a wedding banquet, as it's described in this translation. But the wedding banquet is not Jesus Christ dining with the saints. It's not those of us who are here and alive at the time of the second coming dining with our loved ones who we haven't seen for 50 years. It's Jesus Christ fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon. And he has a cleanup plan for the dead bodies. What's the cleanup plan? Let me read it. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. So what does it all mean? It means that Jesus told the truth. Of course he did. God is not a man that he should lie, right? So he said in the parable of the fishing net that the good fish would go into the crates, but the bad fish would be thrown away. And that this would happen at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous. So the righteous are separated and participate in the first resurrection. And those who are wicked, who are on the earth at the time of the second coming, they go through the great winepress. They are killed by Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, at the Battle of Armageddon. And the blood will flow with the dead bodies for 180 miles. And ultimately, those individuals will be thrown in the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. That fire is coming. That eternal fire is coming. Now, let's go back. If you wanted to hear about the earth reaped prophecy and you said, well, let me not hear the full report. Can you just give me a snapshot? Let's hear the snapshot, the movie trailer, in words for the earth reaped prophecy. So that's verses 6 to 11 of chapter 14. So in the book of Revelation, every statement of prophecy has a movie trailer followed by the movie. And so this is why you're reading something, and then six verses later, you see the same event. You say, wait a minute, did the second coming happen twice? No, it only happens once. But there are 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. They all culminate. They're all talking about the second coming. Most of them culminate with the description of the second coming. Not all of them, but most of them. And so you need to know, which statement of prophecy am I in? Where does it start and where does it end? So this earth-reaped prophecy starts in Revelation 14, chapter 14, with verse 6, and it ends with verse 20. Now, we heard the full report, verses 12 to 20. But let's hear the abstract. That's the movie trailer. That's the shorter version. Verses 6 to 11 say, and I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God, he shouted. Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. So that's another event that happens. The great city. What's that city? The city of seven hills. The city, I'll just cut to the chase, where Rome is. But let's continue here. Verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. That's the end of the movie trailer. Now notice a couple of things. The good fish are separated from the bad fish, and in the movie trailer, what's the highlight? The highlight is what happens to the bad fish who have the mark of the beast. Notice that ultimately the bad fish do go to the lake of fire where they're tormented forever and ever. But the lake of fire is not limited to the bad fish who are here at the time of the second coming. They're bad fish who were on this earth 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. Going back to the time of Noah, there are people who have rejected God. And all of those people, every person who is not in right standing with God, ultimately in eternity future after the end of the world will populate the lake of fire. And every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will populate the new earth. But this prophecy, the earth reaped prophecy, is focused on describing what happens to the good fish at the time of the second coming, how are they separated out, and specifically what happens to the bad fish who have the mark of the beast, who are dwelling on the earth. So that means that they have been here during the time of the great tribulation. So this prophecy reveals their fate. So that is the secret of the earth reaped prophecy. I hope that it is interesting and exciting. I hope that I've shared information that is useful to you about it. I want to invite you to participate in future discussion and explanation of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. In January of 2023, we began a 12-month study of every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Here's how it will work. Every time that this program airs, in that month, we will focus on the corresponding statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So for month number one, January, every program of Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, will be discussion and analysis of the seven seals prophecy. That's the first statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. In February, that's the second month of 2023, we will talk about and discuss the seven trumpets prophecy. In March, we'll talk about the third prophecy. That's the 1,260 days prophecy in chapter 12. In April, we'll talk about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In May, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. And we'll continue, including the seven plagues prophecy, the purple and scarlet prophecy, the millennial reign prophecy, ending in December with the new earth prophecy. So if you are a truth seeker and you want to know all of the secrets for each of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, we will be believing for God to continue to reveal that information to me and to us. And I will be sharing what God shares with me for you, for all who are truth seekers in 2023, right here on PGN during the live broadcast of Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. I want to end with a prayer for you. I declare and decree according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, that you are blessed, you are happy, and you are to be envied, because you have heard the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and I pray that you will keep yourselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. And so, friend, I encourage you to call out according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God, because he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, friends.